is a guest here tonight who has more than one name. It is the effervescent, the ebullient, whatever it is, Macy Blackman. Hi, Macy. The Alex Bennett studio audience applauds.
Oh, my. Hi, Dave. Hi, Mal. Hi, everybody. I'm Macy Blackman. And thanks a lot for having me, Mal. And
thanks for coming to the show. We'll see
all right,
you next
we'll
time.
We'll see you next
all right,
week.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
That's the shortest interview we've ever done.
Yeah, see, yeah, bye, Macy.
Quality. Not quantity.
So, Macy, you have you're here because you have a brand new CD coming out.
That's right. We have a CD coming out called "Don't You Just Know It," after the Huey Smith tune "Don't You Just Know It," which has always been a crowd pleaser. We've been playing it for years and years.
Okay, is that the one that goes "Ooba Gooba Dooba Gooba Gooba"? All that stuff.
Well, roughly.
Yeah, the "Gooba Gooba Gooba" thing. Yeah.
Don't you just tuba, know tuba, it? Tuba, tuba, tuba. Yeah, that's it. That's good. Anyway, I have a band called the Mighty Fines, really, really good, basically New Orleans rhythm and blues band. But this new record, Don't You Just Know It, has a lot of other dimensions to it. But I think we should play the thing that's the most typically New Orleans R&B, which is Amos Milburn's Chicken Shack Boogie. All right, so let's kick that off, Dave. Let's hear that, all right?
Oh, cats, I just got back. Got a little place called the Chicken Shack. It's fine as wine. It's really on the ball. No women. Just a hole in the wall. Did you say that it's located down by the creek? We get a whole lot of good things to eat. All good parts of the chicken were small as a cinch. Even at the last part that went over the fence. They go into the wall. Let's all be mine, Campbell. Let's have a ball. I want all you cats to be sharp as a tack. The party's about to start down at the Chicken Shack.
Here in Jazz 91, Macy Blackman with Chicken Shack. Who's on that band with you? That's
well, as you can hear, the band is all about saxophones.
really?
Yeah, really. Okay, well, the tenor player is Nancy Wright.
Sure.
Yeah, and Nancy also sings a lot. She sings in some of the numbers on the CD. The baritone player is Kenny Snakebite Jacobs from New Orleans. And then Bing Nathan and Jack Dorsey. Bing is the bass player. Jack is the drummer. Bing and Jack and I have been together now probably about 7 years.
That's nothing.
Yeah. Well, it is to me.
Bing has been in like 180 bands in the Bay Area. I mean, he's
yeah,
been in like,
I know, but I've only been in one. You know,
with him.
Yeah,
that's enough.
Hello.
Yeah, and of course you're playing keyboard on this, and you were singing. This was very. Anybody else in that group that I've left out here?
Not. No, there's only five of us. I mean, that's it's hard enough to find work for five people. You need to know anybody else in the group? I don't think so. Good Lord. I mean, look, Mal, look at the back of this. I have to play two instruments at the same time. So, there's six of us, but two of them are me, all right?
I know. Well, you got two people, too many to get a job in San Francisco.
Hello. Yeah, well, we hardly ever work. The only way we can work in San Francisco is to have a CD release party at Biscuits and Blues. So we're doing that next Sunday night.
Okay. So how long have you been in the Bay Area?
10 years.
10 years. I remember meeting you when you first came to town.
Yeah.
You got that distinctive New York accent. You're from where you were born.
Which I make damn sure I still have.
Yeah. You were born where?
I was born in Wilmington, Delaware.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Not a New York accent. That's a Delaware.
No. Well, Wilmington's a wonderful place to come from.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're from Wilmington, you can live anywhere. You've already lived in Wilmington.
Do you know anybody else, Dave, from Wilmington, Delaware?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
But I'm sure the story would be the same, I guess.
Well, I have a lot of friends here who had the brains to leave, and now they're out here, too, you know.
From Wilmington, Delaware?
Yeah, from Wilmington, yeah.
Whew, boy, I can't think. Is there any other famous person aside from Macy Blackman from
Clifford Brown.
Clifford Brown.
Clifford Brown.
All right. Ooh, stop
a
that.
Less but good jazz man, Len Winchester, is Wilmington.
Oh, very nice. The vibes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about it.
That's about it.
That's about
Period.
It. Joe Biden, but he's not actually from Wilmington.
Yeah. And then there was that woman.
It just embraces mediocrity. I'm telling you, it's not a bad place, but it's a great place to
You know, mediocrity is like a leg up in America these days. Mediocrity is like higher than we're getting in anything else in our life.
You can have my share of it, Mal. You're not going to get it from me.
And where'd you record this? The recording is very, very nice.
We recorded it sometime in July, I think the 13th or 15th, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to say a little bit about my inspiration for, well, not my inspiration is the music itself, but one of the big reasons that I love this kind of music is that an old friend of mine, Charles Williams, was the drummer on the original of the song we just played on Amos Milburn's record. And he played on all of Huey Smith's songs, including Don't You Just Know It. And
where'd you meet him?
Well, I taught him to tune pianos. I met him in New York City, and I taught him to tune. He became my apprentice. We had a piano store where we reconditioned old pianos.
Well, this is good.
And he brought me over to some places where he knew the singer performing. Over in the West Village, I think on Bank Street, Arthur's Tavern.
Oh, I know that place.
Yeah,
right
okay.
Sheridan Square.
Right, yeah. And Mabel Godwin was this old lady. She sounded like Billie Holiday if you didn't look at her.
Uh-huh.
But if you looked at her, there's no way in hell you could ever imagine Billie Holiday from hearing her.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But if you just walked in the club, you'd say, wow, that sounds like Billie Holiday, you know.
Yeah. No,
anyway, Charlie brought me over there. They had a snare drum and a crash cymbal. That's all he had to play on. He did more with that than most drummers, you know. But he did all this weird New Orleans stuff that she didn't like. You know, all these press rolls and everything with one hand and stuff. All this crazy stuff that she didn't like at all. You know, and she was like giving him dirty looks, and he didn't care. He just, you know, he just played.
But you were inspired by this.
Oh, totally. He taught me so much, you know, about the essence of the music.
Of the New Orleans?
Yeah, because Charlie, you know where Louis Armstrong got sent to for firing the gun? The colored waifs home?
Yeah.
And they taught him to play the cornet there. Peter Davis, okay?
Right.
The same guy taught Charlie to play the drums. Charlie got sent to the same place.
Wow.
Many years later, he was an old man. But what he taught him to play was basically Dixieland, heavy backbeat, you know. So let's play something, a couple of things that Charlie's playing the drums on.
Great.
What do we got over there, Dave? What's the first thing we got? He's singing on this also. Charlie was a fine singer. And then the second thing is a Dave Bartholomew number that he just drives with his drums. You have to just listen to the drums on these two numbers, folks.
You're tuned in to Back on Basin Street. On Basin Street here on Jazz 91. Dave Bartholomew with Charles Williams.
On the Hungry. Drums. Yeah. Hungry is a nickname.
That was nice.
Nobody ever called him anything else.
I love those records. They just hop along there. They just have, I mean, not only the drumming, but the whole band. Everything is like bouncing, the singers, and the whole thing's very tight.
Well, if you listen to the stuff recorded at Cosimo's studio in New Orleans, most of it sounds that way, because it was either Charlie or Earl Palmer, and Earl Palmer is every bit as good a drummer, a little less heavy. He didn't hit the drums as hard, but really, really excellent drummer. Anyway.
Well, I'm just curious. I want to ask you one more thing about this drummer. The guy, you taught him piano tuning, and is that what he ended up doing in New York? Was he still drumming? Was he drumming a lot, or did he end up being a piano tuner? You know, what's the final
Charlie
story?
Charlie had drug problems beyond belief, beyond anything imaginable, okay? But besides that, he developed Paget's disease. Paget's disease is where you're... The sutures in your brain they solidify and it builds pressure, you know, and it causes all kinds of problems. And Charlie really couldn't do much of anything. He went back to New Orleans. He could still sing, though. He used to come and sing with me on my gigs.
Wow.
You know, but he couldn't play too much anymore.
All right. Well, that's a story. So now let's move on here. Next, we're going to your next cut from your band.
Okay, well, I got into New Orleans.
By the way, I should
music.
Say our guest tonight is Macy Blackman, the leader of the Mighty Fines, and played at all kinds of clubs. Most people probably listen to this show have seen Macy somewhere in the Bay Area. You are, I don't know, ubiquitous? Is that the word?
I used to be in North Beach, you know, when Andrew Yeager's was open.
Yeah.
And we played at Enrico's, too, and but no longer. Now we're all over the place, you know. It's
hard.
But that's okay. You know, I just like to play. I don't care. I'm a New Yorker. I used to drive out to Montauk twice on a weekend to play. So this is nothing. Where you got to go? San Jose? You know, what the hell's that? Yeah, Timbuktu
okay.
or something?
So the next cut on your new CD.
All right, so look, I approach this music not through R&B. But through King Oliver and Louis Armstrong. That is my first love. You know, to me, the best music in the world is the King Oliver Creole Jazz Band. That is my number one, you know. Okay. And I always dreamed, you know, of playing in that kind of band. But how? Well, where are you going to do that, you know?
Yeah, they're dead.
Right. But then one day Bing was over my house.
Bing Nathan.
Yeah, Bing Nathan, our bass player, who also plays the piano quite well. And you know how everybody, even though the piano was just a combination of parts and supposedly how could one person get a different sound from it than another?
Yeah.
They do. I learned that early on listening to Eddie Duchin, that even though he didn't play a whole lot, the sound he got from the piano was gorgeous.
Yeah.
All right? So... Bing sits down at my piano and gets a gorgeous sound from it, playing this kind of Jelly Roll Morton sounding thing. So I took out my cornet and I started doodling around, and before you know it, we had something, you know. And then he wrote a bridge to it, and I don't remember how one thing led to it, but then Bing's wife is a musician, Kit Robertson, and she's early music. She loves early music, but she's quite proficient on the bass. She normally plays viola da gamba. And we put this thing together, and it sounds very much like the earliest kind of jazz. The timing is ragtime. The timing is not, it doesn't swing. Like Louis Armstrong invented swing, it doesn't swing. The timing is ragtime. It's the eighth notes are straight. But it's blues. You know, it's like...
Boy, have you sold me on this cut?
Put it on.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Papa's Cool Blues.
All right.
yes, I will.
All right, this is Jazz 91, and we're playing, our guest is Macy Blackman. We're playing music from his new CD. The title of that CD is...
Don't You Just Know It.
All right, and then a lot of music that's influenced Macy. But we started off with his CD, and...
We do this song on our CD.
Right, Pop Is Cool Blues, written by Bing Nathan.
Oh, let's get back to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway... That it's astounding to me that the band that plays Chicken Shack also plays.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like, you know, a lot of different sensitivities. The people in the band have amazingly wide musical experiences. I worked 300 times, 14 years running in New York. 300 times or better.
Yeah.
You know, playing a lot of Irish music, believe it or not. We had a band that played Irish music, but we also played a lot of rock and roll. We didn't play any jazz, though. I mean, it's pretty hard to go into an
Irish
bar
with jazz. What year was this?
1984 to 1995.
So you absorbed all that, and plus you had this background in jazz, and were you interested in New Orleans music?
Always. Uh-huh. Always, but I wasn't able to play that much of it until I got the Mighty Fines together.
But you know, but when you were in New York, that was kind of the heyday, wasn't it, when the whole New Orleans Jazz Festival came and happened, and the Neville Brothers and Irma Thomas and Dr.
Were,
John and all
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
And you couldn't get gigs doing that?
Yeah, I got gigs all the time. I just told you I worked 300 times a year for 14 years.
But you said it was Irish music.
Well, we played... rhythm and blues, but we also played things that they could do bop dancing to in Irish bars. Yeah. And we also had to play a smattering of Irish music. My partner was Irish.
Yeah.
He was one of these guys born with a gorgeous tenor voice, you know, modern-day John McCormick. I mean, a guy could just sing so beautifully.
Well, that's the thing. If you're going to be a musician in San Francisco or New York, you have to play a ton of different styles of music,
right? But I always, you know, I wasn't playing what I could play in New York. He was calling the sets. You know, I never played New Orleans music that the crowd didn't love it. It's just, you know, universally good in terms of humans. I've yet to run into one that doesn't like music from New Orleans.
And we're talking about everything from, like, the tune you just played, which was ragtime tune.
Bing wrote real early New Orleans music.
Yeah, but then you're talking about the other Huey Piano Smith and folks like that.
Right, but Dave Bartholomew. Always try to see the similarities between the two. That's always been a big thing because one came from the other. You know, and now the brass bands in New Orleans, like the Dirty Dozen or stuff, they're trying to combine, you know, the earlier brass band music, which, you know, not Dixieland. Dixieland is something that developed in Chicago or in the North.
Yeah,
it did
yeah.
not develop in New Orleans. But the earlier New Orleans style with funk and R&B, you know. So I'm trying to do it too, but in a slightly different way.
So you started talking here about all the other people in your band.
Yeah,
variety of experiences.
Right. Well, the thing I love the most about my band is that everyone is still getting better. Everyone is still growing as musicians. Kenny from New Orleans, you know, he played tenor with us for a long time, you know, and then he took a job on a boat going between New Orleans and St. Louis, and we hired Nancy. And then he didn't like the job, and he came back and started playing baritone. And I said, oh, my God, he's a born baritone player. You know, and he's just gotten better and better and better on the baritone. Some of the stuff you'll hear, and we're going to play Detroit City next. Kenny plays an incredible solo on Detroit City, just absolutely gorgeous. Also, the stuff on Bing's tune he played clarinet on. Kenny has his own little trio called the Snakebite Trio. Well, they play a combination of New Orleans, you know, the two different kinds of music. Sure. He plays clarinet, plays, you know, earlier type stuff, and then he plays tenor and plays R&B and the kind of stuff, other stuff that comes to New Orleans. So Kenny's real versatile in that regard. Nancy, to me, Nancy, I've never played with a tenor player like Nancy. Nancy just blows the roof off the place every time we play, you know. But Nancy is a very multifaceted musician, and she also has her own trio. It's a 1970s-style power trio with tenor, organ, and drums.
Well, I'll tell you what, Macy.
What's that?
We want to get everything in this hour here, so I want to skip ahead here a little bit. I don't mean to cut you off, and there's, of course, Bing Nathan sitting over there in the corner. We all know about Bing. He's played in every band in San Francisco and every style of music, cowboy music, bebop, and beyond. So now we're going to hear Detroit City. First, we're going to hear Fats Domino's version of this. Is that right?
Yeah, we're going to hear the original, and then we're going to hear our version.
Okay, well, thanks for filling us in there. And I didn't mean to cut you off, but we're getting close to the end of the hour.
Okay.
Here. All right, this is Macy Blackman's new CD. It's called Don't You Just Know It? And here's Detroit City. Well, first, it's Fats Domino.
Detroit City is one of the finest in this world.
this world.
Jazz 91, the Bay Area's jazz station. Our guest tonight's Macy Blackman. And we play two versions there of Detroit City. The first one by Fats Domino and the second one by Macy and his band on their new CD, which is called...
Don't You Just Know It.
You told me something about Fats Domino wrote
that
song.
Yeah, the first time Fats went on a tour to the north, he was amazed at how good the conditions were for a black person in Detroit. So he wrote this song.
He could travel all over town. Well, that was probably the heyday of the automotive industry. And there were a lot of people.
1949, the song was written.
Yeah, and he went up there to Detroit, and there was a lot of work. And, so right
that's
after the war.
He always liked Detroit.
Whew. Have you gotten this song to, there's a new show, isn't there, Detroit, that new television show? You don't know about that, man? Because you're just playing in these dives.
I gave up television. I decided to play the
What's the name of that show, Dave? You know what I'm talking about? The new show about Detroit?
No idea.
Well, anyway, the whole show is shot in Detroit now.
Just not privy to this information.
All right. We got to do something else here for a second. Macy will be back in the second hour of the show for a few minutes. And John Rogers, as you know, is our resident producer in San Francisco. Every week he calls in with something he'd like to hear. And it's been a great bonus to our show because we hear a lot of material that we might not normally play, although this is something we might play. It's Fats Waller. And what's this tune we picked, Dave? It's
I Used to Love You.
But it's all over now.
But it's all over now.
You know that tune, Macy? I Used to Love You, but it's all.
I can't see Fats Waller singing that.
Well, that's why I wanted to play it. I used
You're
to love.
Kidding?
Yeah, I've never heard him do it. That's why I wanted to play it.
Oh my God! Yeah, let's hear that. I thought that what's his name, Willie? Put it on. I can't believe it.
Yeah, thank you, John Rogers. Here we go. Here with Fats Waller.
Behind me, Satan.